Board of Commissioners meeting, March 25th, 2019, at 1:02 p.m.
You have to record it.
All right. It's about 1:02. We'll go ahead and get our commissioner meeting started. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted in the west wall near the entrance of the county board. Room meeting is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Before we get started, let's do the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, go ahead and take roll call.
Marty.
Yep.
Tony.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Larry.
Here.
Janet.
Gil.
Here.
You want me to say Gil?
No.
All right. First thing, we'll go ahead and take any public comment of anything that's not on our agenda for today. So if there's anything that you want to address the board about that is not on our agenda for today, now would be the time to step up and take your 3 minutes and say what you have to say. Go ahead and state your name.
My name is Walt Beerman.
I live at Crystal Lake, 631, Lakeland Avenue.
You bet.
Okay. I was here about 6 months ago after I received a letter back from the county here that my property went up 121%. I was told at that particular meeting that they were going to schedule a meeting. Joan said that she'd take care of it. No meeting ever materialized. I had a chance to visit with Larry a little bit, and I even had a chance to talk personally with the assessor, and to date, nothing's happened. And my day, and per se, the commission is going to come to be,
The meeting that you would be talking about would be a meeting with our assessor for you and him to try to come to terms before it goes to terms.
He said he was going to talk to you and set up a meeting. Nothing's happened. I did give him a whole set of pictures. You guys have all the data. You have two appraisals. And the last one was done on by the bank who the mortgage went through. And what's really sad is someone in this county, I got to assume who it was, filed a complaint also in Nebraska claiming that the appraisal was no good and literally run him down. So he's got a claim against him. I want to know if that's been taken or removed. He had nothing to do with nothing. He was hired by the mortgage company to put it together. And his appraisal came in at $90,000 as is because it was a fixer-upper. I do have some pictures. You can run them around. And you want to see what a $210,000 house looks like? I'll let you look at it.
If you know, and I don't know what the meeting that you had with Jeff consisted of. But like I say, to remedy this, that would be the situation that you would have to go to. The commissioners aren't going to make a decision before, you know, everything's got to go through the normal process. If Jeff hasn't gotten back to us with a meeting, I can follow up with Jeff and see if he wants to have a meeting or if he just wants it to go through the process with Turk.
Whatever. Take care of it. I would like to pass one picture on. Can
okay.
I do that?
You bet. And as far as the report that he made on the appraisal, I know it's standard practice if they have an appraisal that they don't think is meets the guidelines. They do turn people in if they don't think that it's a fair deal. So and the gentleman will also have a chance to defend himself on that situation for sure.
The house is a complete disaster. I bought it as is from REO, which is Freddie Mac.
Is this are these pictures as of today or as of the time you purchased the property?
Somewhere. That was the way it was purchased right there. And it is that way today. I built the home, designed and built it in 1970. And I'm retired, and I'm doing this very slowly
mm-hmm.
Because I am 70 years old. And I thought, I'll just use this for a fixer-upper and tire here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pay $270,000 for that?
Are they, yeah. It'd be nice if you had timestamps on these two, you know, the pictures. But, you know, just from the little three snapshots that I have, I wouldn't know that I would. You can't really tell much by them.
You're not the appraiser, but the assessor already had told me personally he would that they overappraised it. And what's really sad is your so-called referee that came down, who lied on the document, said we were no-show. My wife is here. Mm-hmm. She was with me. And mm-hmm. then he dated it 2012. Now, that's pretty crooked. And nothing's been done about it. And I think it's pretty sad that we run our county like that. I mean, if you wait long enough, probably in 3 or 4 years, I might have it done. If you just keep on waiting.
Do you know when the next Board of Equalization meeting is? Do we have that?
I don't think it is on the schedule.
Well,
yes.
On the tax stuff?
Yeah.
We do all that through the Board of Equalization.
Yep.
And
Joan said she was going to set that up. Right or wrong, Joan?
No, that's Sherry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Joan's not here. Joan's not
Well, Joan was here that day. And
he
said,
filed to Turk. So.
And they were going to include the assessor and the attorney. Nothing's ever materialized from it.
Jeff needs to be able to see the property and then.
And did you and Jeff set up a time where he can come out and view the property?
No, they did contact me.
To view the property?
Well, you guys got all the information.
No, but I mean, are you fine with him coming out and looking at the property?
Well, I don't know what for.
No, but because
well,
then he would
why
have...
Why do you want to come out there? You have all the pictures, as I bought it. You have all the property dimensions of it. The stuff I've been doing inside is what you call maintenance. When you put a new floor in, you don't tax it. When you put a new roof on, that's maintenance. Yes. When you paint the walls, that's maintenance.
Yeah. Nobody, and I can't speak for Jeff, but I don't think anybody would go off pictures when they have the ability to just go a mile away and take a look at it. I mean, I don't think anybody would.
Well, that's what one of your representatives come out about 2-3 days before the letters went out, took a picture from the road and one from the lake and walked, drove away. And your so-called referee who come out there, supposedly he don't have to have a license. Is that true? Appraiser's license or referee's license, is that true?
I have been told that they don't need a.
So we can hire a dishwasher to do that, correct? I'm being. You know, he's never been at the house, he's never seen it, and then he first of all says out the no show, and he says, no, we're just going to go status quo. Got his check and ran.
You know, without having Jeff here, you know, and he can support whatever thing he says, you know, and find out if it is. Price was qualified or not, whatever, you know, we just, I mean, it's out of our hands, you know, the county assessor is the one.
I agree. Took me 3 or 4 trips to get her before she was here. He was here, I'm sorry.
He was here.
And I would like to meet with him, eyeball to eyeball, and he had an attorney there with him.
So and have you met with him?
Yes, I have. I talked
but
to him right through the window,
like
eyeball
to
eyeball. Mm-hmm. He has a whole set of these pictures.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you right now, I I'm not going to say that because I just don't think that he's going to go off of pictures.
Let's follow up with him.
Yeah, we'll follow up with him. You have filed with Turk, so they'll contact you with a date and time. If Jeff doesn't get back to you, if you're not satisfied with what the county's doing, I mean that's your opportunity to go down and explain exactly what's going on, and I think you should take full advantage of that if you're not happy with what's going on.
Well, no, I don't take be unhappy mm-hmm. with what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so then
the house
I would,
is a disaster yet. Mm-hmm. The outside all has to be painted. The roof, I had a new one put on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all got to come off here this spring because it's all put on incorrectly, and they're literally falling off.
Oh, wow.
Okay? I mean, that's what I'm dealing with at 78
yeah.
years old.
Yeah, that's not a good
and
deal.
And my biggest issue, and then I'll shut up. Are we going to get rid of that complaint that went on the Greg, was it Buckingham, Carol? Greg Buckingham.
That's something that, you know, Jeff did and would have to undo, and so I would say you'd have to talk to him about that. But, yeah, you'd have to talk to him about that. That had nothing
to do with it. I mentioned to him, and he just kind of blew it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate because, you know, he had absolutely nothing to do with nothing. He was hired by the mortgage company.
Who was the complaint filed through?
In Lincoln.
Who's their overseeing board?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know who they contacted, but I have a copy of the complaint to come back to him. It's pretty sad. You're blowing the multiple listings. Well, that has nothing to do with it. Well, you live too far away. That has nothing to do with anything. He's a legitimate appraiser that appraises homes for Bank of the West, and that's who the mortgage is through.
Because that board is the one you would have to talk to about the complaint.
I have nothing to do with the complaint.
Okay.
Somebody here does.
Okay, no. We have no control over what they
do. Well, then I would say the assessor does.
Okay.
I don't know if the assessor is the county.
The assessor.
Yeah, you'd have to talk to Jeff because we have no control over that.
Okay, but somebody here sent it and somebody should fix it. Because otherwise this county will get sued by him, and that's unfortunate for something so stupid. Mm-hmm. And I'll shut up.
All right, well, thank you.
Can I have that picture back?
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Larry. Did a good job in the road. No worse parts.
Thank you all. Anybody else? Go ahead and step up and state your name.
My name is Tom Boske. The 1531 Highway 110. Always sit here. And the reason I'm here today is there were a few of us getting together to try to resolve problems with water sitting on properties. Developments that were put together with no drainage plan. So the drainage on these properties now are coming back on other places. So there's a solution to it. And a pipe that would extend that water away from Dakota Flats down to an area where it would drain into a basin, which would be more than adequate to handle all the water, no problem. It'd be tiled water, so it'd be clean water. I know there's a lot of engineering that'll have to go into this before anything got started or even a thought of it was put forward any farther than just the idea, but I think there needs to be a commission or a board put together to help out multiple properties. The tile I'm talking about doing would probably drain, would be over thousands of acres that it would take care of, farm ground and residential properties. It would probably benefit the Dakota Flats more than anybody. And I'm here today to ask for you guys' help. Let's get it done. Let's start something. There's ways of funding it by taps. If, say, the Morgans, the Beermans, they wanted to drain their property into this tile, it would need to be sized properly for those acres. And then for a tap fee, they could come onto that pipe. That's simple. Recoup your money, or part of the money.
So you mean that the Board of Commissioners needs to form another board
there'd be a board that would study these properties, mm-hmm. and try to figure out the proper way of getting them drained. If you go down Highway 35, mm-hmm. the Bierman property, the Nelson property, right. Scott Boskate property, there's Anderson property. There's tens of thousands of acres down there underwater. Should have been fixed a long time ago, technically. And there's an easy fix to that, too. A pipe, dialing over to the pipe, and then dump it back in the top of that creek. And it'd be a pump station made. Again, that could be all handled through a feed of the farm grounds that they're putting into it. Instead of farm ground being 100% worthless, now you've got properties that are now developing crops. Farmers are going to be happy. If they have to pay a little bit in to put that pipe into service, I don't think anybody's going to complain. Maintain the pump station. That's my thoughts on it. Put some people together and let's get it done.
What the NRC has something to do with that?
Yeah.
The NRCS office would give you determinations on property, whether it was a wetland and you could drain it or not. But if it's been trying to be farmed, from what I've been told, my property does not have a wetland determination. It has a highly erodible determination on it, which I don't understand because it's flat, but that's the determination they give on it.
So the Papillon, Missouri, though, they like do work on Pigeon Creek and stuff and it's done through an assessment. The way I understand on the properties that the creek takes care of. Or
Natural Resource, yes. Creek. And that's possible. That's stuff that needs to be looked into and studied. Find out whether or not they would help us with that project. But
that property's down over there. I'm sure it gets taxed annually. I'm sure it's on when you pay your interest statement, tax statement thing.
A percentage that goes to Papio, Missouri.
Yeah. It would look to me like that wouldn't be the way to have them, because they've also involved in engineering and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do it themselves.
Yeah. I just wonder why it hasn't been brought to the front to get done before this. Because that ground, especially that ground to the west of Highway 35, as Kevin knows, been underwater for 10, 15 years, off and on.
Maybe nobody's ever approached it, you know.
Not enough people, numbers.
And then you go on the other side, and you go over there now, and Scott Boske, his ground, he actually planted the grass because it was always underwater. And just today, a lake right up around his hog barn, over across the road, a lot of farm ground over there. And it is true. I don't think those people should even pay a dollar's worth of tax if they can't farm it. So let's make it so that they feel good about having a piece of ground and having a piece that's worthless to them.
So what the county attorney recommendation?
That's public comment.
Oh,
no
okay.
Action.
Okay.
No action.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Would you be comfortable starting with them and see what kind of feedback you get from Papio?
Yeah, I can do the light work on that.
Why don't you start there, and you know, we'll have a conversation and see if there's something that they think something is viable or something that they would be interested or could be interested in.
I know just personally, on my piece of property, I thought about putting in a small line and just pumping it myself. Mm-hmm. And putting a line in, footing the cost by it, but that ain't helping.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to help the flats, and it's not going to help the surrounding ground. And we're still going to have to get a boring permit to go across one state highway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the rest of it would be all in county easement. So we're not affecting anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate
it. It makes sense.
Yeah, I appreciate you making that step and contacting. And if you get positive feedback from there, then, you know, see if something can be put together to look at that. You know, probably more landowners than the commissioners, I would think. But
I can't see anybody objecting to it. Mm-hmm. I know the Nelsons wouldn't object to it. They try to do it themselves constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm trying to get rid of their water.
Yeah.
I know they'd all jump on it, and I know the Morgans would jump on it because they put that piece of ground into CRP because of the wet.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get, wasn't feasible for cash rent anymore because of the, you couldn't farm it off. But.
All right. All right. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Anybody else? All right, we're going to go to consent agenda items. We're going to approve the... previous minutes. Janet came in and we went through accounts payable. And then we're also going to approve the official reports from the clerk, register of deeds, clerk of district court, veterans quarterly report, and the sheriff and jail quarterly report.
Did you guys go through everything?
Yep, we went through everything. There are a few things that we're going to address when we come to budget time, things that we think maybe could be looked at, but as far as the accounts payable, everything appeared good, and the other official reports look good.
Okay. Make a motion to accept the consent agenda items from item A to C.
We got a second? I'll second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
I will abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, we'll go to new business. We went through the payroll, or I went through payroll claims. Everything seemed to be in order. So that's all been turned back in, and everything looked good.
I make a motion to approve the payroll claims for the period March 10th through the 23rd.
Second.
Kevin?
I will abstain from that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right. Next on new business, we're going to open awards for gravel bids. Fred, what do we got going on there?
How many you got, Fred? How many bids have you got?
There are four.
Four. Okay, thank you.
First one's from Tri-County Aggregates.
That's not on the sheet.
No. I don't see it here.
Well, Joan did
the
first
one. He is, I think that...
We'll find out.
Add it to your bottom.
Yeah, put it in the bottom row there.
So what is it? What is it?
Tri-County Aggregate. Okay.
This is Doug Peterson.
Oh, Doug Peterson.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Three-quarter inch. Delivered to the Dakota County facility is $29.
Even.
Excuse me, that's 1 inch.
Oh, it's 1 inch.
1 to 3 quarter on screen.
Pardon?
The first item is 1 to 3 quarter inch and down on screen.
This is his $29 bid is a type 2 1 inch screen. That's delivered. The next one is a 3/4 inch. It's $23 a ton. Delivered.
3/4 inch?
3/4 inch.
Type
one. I mean, type
one. Is it on screen?
Yeah.
Be your type one.
Do the same on screen?
Yes.
So, is there a sieve analysis? Does he give a sieve analysis?
All he's got is just your type one and your type two screen and unscreen. Larry, is all we got on our bid forms.
Okay.
Does he have a price for not delivered?
No. His pits are in Sioux Falls and Yankton.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think
yeah.
he actually buys it from a pit there and trucks it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's given us some, he
yep.
wants to give us a price.
You bet.
Next one is Willers Pilger Sand and Gravel. He gives just the type one state spec Nebraska road gravel, $12 a ton at pit, and $21.44 delivered. And they do not have an inch on screen, so that was the only bid he gave.
Okay.
Next one's LG Everett's. Their type 1, 3/4 inch, 1610, that's a Sioux City pit. Type 2 inch screen is $20.60 a ton at their Sioux City pit. They have a 3/4 inch on down unscreened 9 1/4 at their Akron pit. They don't deliver anything to our yard. That's at their pit in Akron, 9 1/4.
What size was that?
3/4 on down.
On down.
Type 1, the first one, Larry.
And then that was $9 what?
1 1/4. And I have one from Hallett Materials that's not on your list. Hallett Materials, H-A-L-L-E-T-T. They're out of Wall Lake, Iowa. They have a $9 at the pit price and a $19.75 delivered price.
That's most likely a type 1.
Is that for the 3/4 on down, Larry?
I think so. Either that type or type 1. 2. It's probably a type inch and a half minus is what that most likely is.
Okay.
I'm sure it is.
Inch on down?
About inch and a half, or inch and a quarter for sure.
Okay.
Minus. Now, the LG Everest one. Now, was that the first two, was that Class A?
Now, was that Class A is the very first bid?
Yeah, 1610.
1610, and then just the regular inch screen stuff is 2060.
The paint, without the fines.
Yeah, no fines in it, just inch material.
Yeah.
Where have you been getting the majority of your stuff recently?
From LG Everest.
Yeah. Have you been getting any of the Newcastle stuff at all lately?
Out of where?
Newcastle.
We did last year. I noticed they didn't even give us a bid this year.
Okay.
I did not talk to Tom at the pit. I can't quite come up with his name, his last name right now. Tom Fitch. The one of the owners did not contact me.
Okay.
I talked to the guy, the operator up there at Van Lund's place last week, and he said that they had some stockpiled, and they were going to get set up so they can load out 100 truckloads a day. Well, what you got last fall, you couldn't spread anyway because it was so wet that it just wouldn't spread. You couldn't no way. You just had to dump it in gobs and then blade it out and let it dry. Did you use it? Unfortunately, it's probably good enough material when it's 25% water, though. You're also paying for water. Not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with the product. You just got to buy it dry.
Yeah, it's not a throw-down product. You actually got to put it down and roll it in. It's got clay in with it, though. It's got a good binder. Once it's down, it works very good.
He's what the other counties west of us have been, Dixon County anyway, has been getting it, But he's washing it also. But without the binder in it, it's pretty small material. Don't stick around very long. You know, not like the Class A, Iowa Class A. But when I was up there, I went up to the pit there Thursday, and it wasn't open. And then I called him.
I haven't heard anything. I tried to call him, but he didn't even answer, return my call.
The four bids that we got is what you got, right?
What's that, Tony?
The four bids that you gave, that's all you got, right?
Well, bringing that up now, Hallett from over in Crexville, they can't, they won't be able to, August before they would be caught up making material. They made product for the other counties over there, but for them to get caught up to where we could get it, it'd be August.
so it won't do us no good distance here. But it is a good material. Well, it's the same thing that if you could go look at it, Woodbury County and Plymouth County use it.
Yeah, you told me
same
that.
Stuff.
But what we've done in the past is we've kind of accepted all the bids,
yeah, right.
And then we have an opportunity to use from the different companies.
Okay.
So I guess that would be my recommendation to do that this year also.
And some of these we obviously have to pick up ourselves because it's not delivered?
Yep.
Okay.
What that does is lock them into a price.
Okay.
Yep.
So
and then
we can choose what material we need at what time, and right now it's just whatever's available. It's
right.
Running a little short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
So we start with obviously with the ones that are more reasonable and closest to pick up if we have to pick it up.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
So that would be my motion that we would go ahead and accept the four bids and have that opportunity to go forward. All right.
Larry?
Yeah.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. All right. We're going to next open the bids for the Tompkins Overlay Project. And Fred, that's from where to where?
It is at from Lake Avenue to Old Sawmill.
Okay.
2,268 to what 19 inches. First one is Knife River.
Is the patchwork separate item?
There's all three of them, the three that went out and looked at it with me, they didn't think there was a lot of patchwork. They are going to do some what they call leveling.
Yeah.
Go over it and fill in all the potholes and stuff so you get the full 2-inch overlay.
Yeah. Right out on Sawmill Road right now, there's...
I had a call and I looked at it.
The blow-ups are to get high centered on almost.
I suggest why we, whoever we take as bids, have them look at it and do a little work out there also while they're in the area.
Yeah.
Sure. Knife River, Tompkins Drive, 2-inch, $55,550.75. Second one is Barkley Asphalt. Tompkins Drive, 2-inch, $53,667.00. Third one is Frank's Asphalt. He put in one bid for the first time. The bids were let and it had a deadline and there was still snow on it. He did get a go out and look at it again after the snow melt, so he's got two bids. And actually one's an addition to his first one is what it is, because he had to actually see what he needs for leveling and patching. So I might need a little help with the calculator is what I'm saying. His 2-inch surface is $42,650. Then he has an additional for the leveling after he could see it was $3,850. So it'd be a total of about $46,015. I'm doing this in my head. I guess I can get this.
$46,500.
$46,500.
What's your experience, Larry, with
46.5?
Yep.
Yeah. For a total bid.
Frank Asphalt. What's your experience with Frank Asphalt?
Oh, he's done some stuff for us in the past. Right. Like anybody else, our overlay.
All right. Okay.
I mean, if he meets the specifications of the mix, and to my knowledge, he gets the mix from Knife River. You know, so they don't have their own plant.
Sure.
So, I guess if the mix is, I don't know,
What's that, Larry?
Well, I guess if Frank, as far as I know, I mean, they've done some overlay for us years back, and I guess I don't really know any old issues.
He's done patching, he's done work for the county.
So you're satisfied that any of the three is qualified?
He doesn't have his own batch plant. I think he actually buys his asphalt from Knife River.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean,
yep.
I guess I don't care where he gets it as long as
it meets the specifications.
As long as they meet the specifications.
It's 2 inches thick, I guess, ain't much else you can ask for.
Yep.
Timeline's the same and everything regarding completion and the ability to get out there.
When is the timeline, Fred? Is it still
June 1st?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh.
The reason I ask you because when we use him on, we use him with the building burnout, you know, around the building, the overlay.
Oh, on burnout?
Yeah. But we overlay over the concrete, and I don't think you put it right next, you know, because that. I'm not happy about it. But that's why I'm asking you. That's the only
thing. No, I don't know. I might know more just what.
But if we, you know, monitor the specification and do the same thing as the others. I mean, why is it cheaper? So it's up to you guys.
Do we spec what the mix is, Fred, that we want? Or do they...
What's that?
Do we spec what kind of mix we want? Or do they... whatever they use for their standard overlay? Or
they both, all three agreed to the same mix.
Okay. Yep.
And... I don't have it written down when mm-hmm. it's back at the office, but it was just—it's the same thing that we've used on every all of our overlays
mm-hmm.
in the past,
mm-hmm.
in Thompson's addition or anything.
Yep.
That goes anywhere in the county.
And then the places that we'd have them look at down the road. I know where he's talking about where all those blowouts are. Is that something where they come look at it beforehand, and we see if we can strike up a deal to take care of some of that?
What I would do. Do whatever contractor you guys decide. I would say look at that, give us a price,
mm-hmm.
go to the board or road committee, tell them that's what they want. You guys can agree if you want them to do it or if you want me to go back out and get,
okay.
if you're not happy with that price, get a bid from somebody else. It doesn't make me no difference how you do it. But usually if they're in that area doing
yeah.
work, they're going to be pretty
hard
to beat as
yeah.
far as somebody else wanting to come in and patch something, and they're not in the area since they're already trucking product in there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we will get a price before we let them have the work.
Yeah. All right, well, I'd be comfortable awarding a bid to Frank's Asphalt, $46,500 to be done by June 1st.
There's another thing that bothers me. So, you know, when we do patchwork, potholes and so forth, I never see any contractors or the county employees use tack oil.
Tack oil?
Yeah.
What, before they put their material down, you mean?
Yeah, it makes it stick in there. I just never have seen it used. I mean, normally you can see it there when they're doing it, and then you can just see a spill on the side or on that. The other two.
I guess I can't answer that question for you. Whether they still use tack oil or not, as a county, we have not.
Yeah.
About the only time I see tack oil anymore is, of course, your chip and seal stuff.
Yeah.
which is basically the same.
Well, I don't know. We've never placed any that wasn't taxed. Who was your tax code on the thing? Particularly, like on this, they're going to lay out on the driveways. That edge should be taxed there for sure. And it should now most likely squirt the old asphalt.
The whole. And I know, like you said, that used to be the practice. I don't know if there's something else that they use.
Do you need a second to that motion?
Yes.
I'll second that motion.
That's good. That's
right. Janet? Yes. Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. Dave here from the Nebraska Ag Inspection Specialist through the 2018 Dakota County Noxious Weed Program with the board. And our representative, Matt Roos, is here.
Thank you.
Passing around the what we call a reports and requirements sheet. This is basically how we as the Department of Ag rate a county program. And basically, I guess there are four areas where we rate a county. The first one is inspection. Basically, this is where I go out and check the county for noxious weeds on probably four or five areas, or if we have complaints, or if I happen to see something like last year on 77 down by up on this side down, it's about 4 or 5 miles down. I saw it was close to home. There was some Canada thistle in the ditch that the Department of Roads did not. Gotten, it was actually kind of like a snowstorm down and drifting across, and Matt and I had talked to the Department of Roads head out in Norfolk, and they had sent up some shredders and some mowers to take care of that, and we kind of have a back and forth sometimes with the Department of Roads taking care of noxious weeds on some of their areas, but that was taken care of in good shape. And so basically, all 1,000 points were received on that part. The office evaluation is where I come in and check what the superintendent has done as far as inspection reports and different things like that. And he received 915 out of 1,000 points on that. County reports are reports that have to be submitted by January 31st of every year, and basically there's 890 out of 1,000 points received on that. And Matt has received continuing education. He got all 400 points off of that. And total score of 3205 out of 3400. I know some county boards asked me, well, what's the average? And this year I haven't received all of them to know the average, but I think in a normal year it's generally 3,000 to 3,100 points. So I think Matt's doing a good job, and I know he's got responsibilities with the county road department, which kind of makes him work a little harder, I guess, than probably what he would normally do. But I think he's doing a good job at that, and I kind of talk to him every once in a while, and we kind of see how things are going. And I guess I just want to tell you as a county board to keep encouraging him, because he does have actually more than one job, so he's actually doing two things as well as his road duties, his noxious weed duties, and sometimes he gets a little behind and he gets a little frustrated, I think, at it, but he's doing a good job as far as I'm concerned.
All right. I appreciate that report.
Do you have any questions on anything as far as the weeds, anything like that?
Larry, I know a couple of times you've commented on, you know, why we maintenance those. Is that a question that you'd have for him as far as, you know, the right-of-ways? I know sometimes...
The way I understand it, when I'm reading through the article material I have, we as a county don't have to take care of noxious weeds physically. We can send out letters and...
Right, yes.
And notify the landowner that they'll be assessed if they don't. That's the way I...
Yeah, and, you know, I guess in most counties do take care of the county roads right-of-way, just basically because there's this kind of back and forth between the counties, you know, the landowner and the county as to who's responsible for it. And in the Noxious Weed Act, it doesn't exactly say. It says whoever owns or controls, which is kind of a bounce back and forth. Even the state attorney general has weighed in on that, and he kind of went the same way. So, well, whoever owns or controls it, well, the landowner theoretically owned it to the middle of the road, but the county controls it. So it's kind of up to the county whether they want to control it, which in a lot of cases it makes the landowners feel a little better. They say, well, I can't plant corn out there, so if the county takes care of noxious weeds, that kind of makes them feel a little better. And sometimes they're more responsive to the county saying, well, you need to take care of this in your pasture. And they say, well, you haven't taken care of that because you actually control the county ditch and you haven't taken care of that. So, you know, it can kind of go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the landowner is supposed to mow the road twice a year.
Yeah.
The road ditch.
Right.
So he's responsible for that one. And it just seems to me that he should be responsible for any weed growth. Noxious weeds, at least.
Yeah, and that would be, you know, in that case, you know, you could either send him a 10-day notice, which would mean that he would have 10 days to do it, or the county would do it and charge him for it.
Right, that would scare me.
For doing it, you know, and if that's the way the county attorney feels about it, you know, then you could do that. And that's kind of different county attorneys feel different ways about that, and that would be one thing that you would... You know, what we'd need to do would be to make sure that the county attorney would say, okay, yeah, this is the way I think we should do it, or this is the way, you know, legally that we should do it.
Do you get involved in Dixon County?
Yeah.
Well, just before you drop down off that on the way down that hill going to Ponca, and you look off in that pasture to the right, that is completely yellow.
To the north?
With these spurs.
Okay.
Who's under control there? That's the landowner, obviously.
Yeah. Right. Now that is when you come to Highway 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're coming down 12 going into Ponca, and 9's off to the left.
Okay.
Just before that whole hillside up down.
Okay.
Yellow.
Yeah.
When it's time for Levy's food.
Yeah.
To put it up, I mean, something to me that's wrong.
Yeah, and you know that kind of goes back to the county where when we see something like that, we'll write up a report on it and send it to them, and then they have to control that. And we generally give them...
Their weed superintendent also died, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been over years since I've lived up there.
There's a new
been
one.
Been there forever.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Tiffany, are you pressed for time? Because we can hop you up here if you want to.
A little bit, but...
Yeah, why don't you hop up here and we'll get your report.
Is that okay?
You bet. That's perfect. Sorry, Bob. Bob, are you pressed for time? Fred, you know you're going to get stuck here a while, so we're just trying to let the other people.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry. Thank you.
We don't have a Scott here picking on you today.
I know.
No. So, Tiffany, we just appreciate you.
It seems so strange without Scott. Okay, so we had our regular Board of Health meeting. We tried to meet the end of January, but didn't have a quorum. We actually ended up meeting February 12th. And so kind of the update is the first half of the year we went through the budget. We were at 46% for expenses, which we felt okay considering we wanted to be under the 50% mark for expenditures. Planning-wise, we're still working towards FAB accreditation, and so we talked a little bit about what the accreditation process is going to look like for the health department, things that we need to do, which right now we're working on our community health needs assessment, expanding that, and strategic planning. So anybody who's on our board will have gotten a notification to participate in strategic planning. Our grant updates, we had our bioterrorism or preparedness grant, which we submitted quarter two reports. Estimated reimbursement was $10,658. This quarter, we worked on our volunteer reception center. If anybody gets the opportunity to attend the training, Deanna's hosting another one the end of April, I think. And so this is the kind of plan that the county will use to mobilize volunteers in the area if we had a disaster. So Jen's been working on that, defining our role. Also, we rewrote our work plan for the new year. Jen also has been working on quarterly training with the staff. So you'll see once a quarter, the health department actually closed in the morning for staff training. That's kind of a new thing that the CDC rolled out for us this past year. We're working on hopefully being able to do a functional exercise with the schools related to open points of dispensing, because that is one of our locations. And so we're thinking maybe fall 2020 to be able to do that. And we actually conducted a focus group with our volunteers at their January meeting, which was really good. So it helped kind of build up our community health needs assessment related to what the actual people are saying. Immunization, we submitted quarter two reports. Reimbursement is around $13,000. We did 690 vaccinations for 277 kids in the county this quarter. We did get notification that our grant application was accepted, and we were awarded funding for January 2019 through June of 2019. So for this six-month period, we're going to get $24,000, which is actually about $10,000 more than we normally get a year. So they're trying to get on align better with the state budget cycle. So they're doing these kind of six-month stints. So hopefully after this one, we'll go July through June, and we'll run consecutively. West Nile, we finalized our reports for last year. We did have one confirmed West Nile case, which was actually just a blood donor. And we invoiced for the remaining $614 for that grant. We get about $1,200. Minority Health, we finished up sixth quarter. We partnered with the Salvation Army to do screenings at their locations on Fridays. We're training our new secretary, so she's also going to be a community health worker. So she's completing that so she can start seeing patients. And we were able to work with Tyson and One Siouxland to be at Seagal Consulting, which is over kind of by Dakota Perk on the end there. And so we did health screenings and information on December 16th, which we saw about 65 people on a Sunday for 3 hours, which was really good use of our time.
Wow.
Radon grant, we still are offering radon test kits for $1. We'll offer those through probably next week. After that, people start to open up their houses and stuff, and the kits become a little less accurate, but we will do it again in the fall if people are interested. Surveillance-wise, we had 109 investigations conducted within the county, so these are all the CDC reportables. And Northeast is actually, we've been contracting with them doing their CDC reportables. They actually hired a new nurse that's training under Natasha, so they're going to resume those cases, which it's about $5,000 a year that they pay us, and so Natasha's looking for different avenues that we can recoup some of that dollar. FAB update, like I said, we're increasing our community health needs assessment. We actually got it awarded a $15,000 grant to help with that, and so that's what's being used for our contract for the health needs assessment as well as our strategic planning. And then we did our semi-annual report. So the semi-annual, we just talk about the number of vaccinations conducted over the year, which we've vaccinated for the first half of the year 505 children with 1,297 vaccinations, and 32 adults have received 58 shots within the county. So far, among all of our grants for the first half of the year, we have in $61,657.09.
All right, very good.
Any questions, comments, or concerns?
No, you're doing a heck of a job.
When you have the flu shots, I know that I took them here for the community. Is that an application or first come, first serve? Or
first come, first serve. So usually the board, we bring to the board whether or not the county employees are going to get them for free, and then you guys vote whether or not you want to do that or not, and then beyond that, we do first come, first serve.
I see. Yep. Okay.
All right. Well, thank
Perfect.
You very much.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Tiffany.
Yep.
Good numbers.
Thank you.
Great job.
Bob, do you want to hop up here?
No, it's all right.
All right. We're going to go ahead and go with Fred's road report.
Yeah. I didn't get a road report done.
Oh, that's right.
I was looking for one.
Yep. Yep. Understand. Give us a little highlight of what's going on.
To get out, but I will give you an update on flooded stuff. About 120 roads with damage done to them. We have 12 of them closed. Two more bridges were closed last Friday by engineers, one on T Avenue, which is a county line. We still have one on 265th down south of Homer, right off of Highway 75 that's closed. And they closed a little bridge on Oakdale between Highway 12 and 20. But them three, we're doing inspections yet. I'm meeting with Nebraska Department of Roads Wednesday, and that's over our our federal aid roads, which T Avenue is. The engineers, Manelli Wagner, that are doing the inspections on that, says that it is not, since it's federal aid, FEMA does not give you any money for it. It goes through the state and federal highway commissions.
Okay.
And they do 100% on repairs and 80% on new, complete new bridges. This one looks like it's not going to be repairable. The channel is getting so wide, and there's really nothing wrong with the structure. It's more the channel and the back walls is where it's starting to affect this bridge.
That's the one on 12 and 20?
Pardon?
On T Avenue, okay.
T Avenue. Yeah. And we share that. That's a county line, yeah. So we share that with Dixon County.
Yeah.
Manelli Wagner wanted to know if they should proceed with the paperwork, because if you wait for the federal government and Nebraska Department of Roads, you're looking for 2-3 months. If they can go ahead and start looking at whatever it needs, repairs or replacement, you'll just be that much further ahead. I told them I had a board meeting today and I would find out if we should go. In my opinion, we should get on the fast track, because there's, I know of 400 and some state bridges that need to be replaced, mm-hmm. or have damage. Finding if you, the faster we move on these things, the better off we'll be. That is a main artery going between the two counties. I'd like to give Manelli Wagner the go-ahead to start plans on figuring out what it needed, whether repairs or replacement, and then when the federal highway gets their act together, we will at least have our plans right there to hand them to them and move on.
Would that be a cost share with Dixon County?
Yes, that'll be 50-50.
And they're on board with the...
I have not. I wanted to talk to my own board before I ever even talked to another county. So far, they've been on board. I don't see why they wouldn't. They have done work with Manelli Wagner, so have we. They know the problem. It is actually... Dixon County takes care of the first 4 miles of the county line. We do the next 4 miles on the north end. That actually lays in their jurisdiction of roads they take care of. Dakota County's always done the inspections and done the legwork for repairs or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's why Dakota County is doing what it is. They have always done 50-50 with cost, no matter what. Mm-hmm. But if I get the okay from you, I will contact Dixon County and tell them what our board would like to do and move from there.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Because I'm sure we're going to have other bridge work. The High Bridge north of Jackson, I have contacted Papio NRD. They do the channel and right up to our bridge. They were supposed to come last week. I have not heard from them. But the water line is below our, it's starting to be scour critical. It's below our back wall of our bridge. Mm-hmm. So we're in trouble there also.
Okay.
That's just one of them.
It's amazing how wide that thing's grown over the last 18 months. It's
unbelievable. It even, you notice it went to the east side.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I guess that's the way it works. Mm-hmm.
Same thing's going to happen to that bridge on North Bluff in Jackson. There should ought to be something down there now, actually. Because where the dozer was setting, that's not gone yet, but it will be there next time it rains, probably. And if nothing else, it should have stayed piling back into the dozer and back into the bank.
Back there with the big swell pit on the other side of that pole. See, that's out of the county right away there.
Yeah, right. Not talking about right where the pole is, that's farther than the right.
Yeah, that pole's going to be gone there.
It'll be gone.
I'm surprised it's still there, to be honest with you.
I'm afraid our pole is going to be gone to the ridge, too.
I'm going to have them inspect that one also. I did look underneath of it. Yeah, our back wall and stuff has not been any. The little bit of concrete that we shoved off of last year, it did not wash away, so we didn't lose any more material around it.
The thing about it is the water comes off the deck and runs down into the crushed concrete, and it's level take material, not the rock, but more dirt off underneath that approach. So there'd be a way to stop that, and it'd be the thing to do. But the only way I would know to do it would be drive more piling back into the bank ways. You know, did we ever get prices on the whole dirt in for Hogan Bridge?
The whole bridge, they got sent out today with a sketch to 5 contractors within the county. That would be Harris, Oban, Lux, Albanicious, and B&B, which is Billy Rogers. If there's anybody else that you know that you would like them to go to?
Well, Amazoni, because they're residents of the county.
Yeah.
You know, and they got property here and they take taxes. So
the other thing on the bridge, I talked to Mike Wilms.
Yeah.
I have to go to the SEC office in Ponca to see if they'll let us use that dirt in the set aside program.
See, when I talked to Donnie about that, he wasn't nuts about it. The last time I talked to him, he was grumbling about it. And,
I talked to Mike too the same day you did. I just ran in there to get some stuff and talked to him, and he said, you know, as long as the ASC office would be willing to do that, he'd be more than willing to give the dirt.
Who's the boss?
Well, your wife is, Larry.
Oh, yeah. Donnie or Mike? Who's what? Yeah. I don't know. Donnie or Mike?
I don't know.
Might have come out of the shotgun. We start turning his feet up. Mike don't want what he does.
But anyway, that's if there's any more questions or anything you have heard throughout the county, let me know.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I got one. Big one. Tomorrow, I think in the morning, I'm going down to do Ireton with the motor grader.
You're going where?
Down to do Ireton.
Elgin?
Ireton.
Ireton?
Ireton.
They haven't been a motor grader there since they took the ice off. When the fire truck couldn't get up the little hill on Ireton. And the guy is sick and tired of making phone calls.
Okay. There'll be one there first thing tomorrow morning?
I would hope so. I mean, I've driven that entire area that operator is supposed to take care of, and he ain't done enough down there last week that he couldn't have been there.
Okay.
Granted, it ain't going to be perfect, but at least that farmer guy down there filled in his own ruts with the back blade on the back of the tractor. Okay. I mean, they were deep. I didn't drive up in there. I backed on down the road and turned around. I didn't want to drag on the bottom of my truck. Well, we finally got them filled in because it was drying up last week, see. And for some reason, it's just that road don't get no attention for 5 people living there. I mean, I'm surprised. So it needs to get graded up as best as possible and get rocking on it.
Yep.
There was no reason to put it off any longer. The water ran down the one track from way up the way, all the way down and across the road. Well, it was forever drying up because the water continued to run. As a matter of fact, there's just a little kinky bit there yet. Instead of going there and just making a little, there's already a little ditch made there with the blade. But it wasn't getting into that little ditch, see. It was coming out on the road up above, and all it had done was divert a little bit up there and stayed in the ditch going on down the way. There's some real, real lack of interest in that road for some reason.
It'll be done for Sandmore.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Robert Giese, Treasurer requesting board approval, March 29th tax sale report.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Bob.
Everybody,
If you want, I can give you a quick synopsis on the tax sale and how that works for a couple of you new commissioners, if you want me to. Otherwise, I can just hand you the report. So let me just I'll try to make it as brief as possible. So the first Monday in March, every county in the state has a tax sale, and that is on all delinquent properties in the county. So everybody has a sheet like this. So on the back page of your sheet are all the parcels that we sold at that tax sale. So what it means when we sold it was somebody paid, an investor paid the taxes on these properties. So every amount on that back page, an investor basically has a lien on the property. Okay? So the as the property owner, so if one of these were my taxes on here, I could stop paying them, and it would take 3 years before anything could ever be done on my property that's on here. And the investor has an obligation at the end of that 3 years to foreclose and do some other legal things that they need to do. Otherwise, they're in danger of losing their money if they don't do all the things that they are legally supposed to do on these properties. So that's kind of what happens during a tax sale. The second page gives you the total of what we sold, what was advertised, what we sold, and what is now left on the books unpaid. And the reason why the top two numbers or everything doesn't add up is because after we advertise it the first week in March, we have to advertise it for 3 weeks. People come in and pay. So that's why that number is not... That's why those numbers don't add up, because people came in and paid that were on a delinquent list. So this is just a summary for you. The third and fourth pages are the parcels that are unpaid as of today.
But the $695,000 is what was paid?
Correct. That's what we collected. So the... So
was
how
it all delinquent?
Pardon?
Was that much delinquent?
Mm-hmm.
Taxes?
Mm-hmm. And why they do that is because they make 14% interest on their money. So, and it's been that way for a long time, that 14%, because counties want their money. Mm-hmm. And if it was 2%, maybe they wouldn't get paid and people wouldn't come in at the tax sale and pay those taxes. So the 14% is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
But we get our money, and that investor is making 14%. So, you know, they can make a lot of...
So then if the business or the house, the homeowner comes back and pays it, he's getting 14%.
Yeah, that goes right
investment.
To the investor. Yeah.
So the guy that paid the $397,000 on that one person will be making 14% on that money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's a pretty big number. And that meter is running as we speak. Some of these may have come in and paid, but this was when we closed this sale, this is what they were. So, and the homeowner... And I think the reason why they give them 3 years is because people are going to have emergencies, things that happen in their personal life or whatever it may be. And so they give them 3 years to kind of regroup. And so in the short 8 years that I've been here, probably all these delinquent, this back page here, 97% of them will be paid before they go to foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably true in all the counties throughout the state. And investors don't care. They want their money.
Yeah.
And they commit. It's really... So at the sale, we had 73 buyers and sold 150.
If two people want to buy the same property, is it first come, first serve, or how's that work?
It's kind of a lottery.
So we sign all you guys up. You have to pay $25 to be at the sale.
Mm-hmm.
That's a state law. So you would, Kevin, maybe number 1, 2, 3, 4, right down the line.
Okay.
We draw a number out of a hat. Maybe, Marty, you're number one. You're first. And we usually list our taxes in dollar order. So mm-hmm. that highest, that $397,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if we draw your number, you can say yes or no. And then we go right down the line. And we were done in 40 minutes.
Wow.
With all of these. So mm-hmm. It's pretty slick.
Okay.
Pretty slick. And that's statewide. All the same rules and regulations apply to all the counties. So.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for that explanation. Appreciate
sure.
it.
There was a parcel that was actually near $400,000 that wasn't taxed that he paid.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody paid interest on that for 3 years?
No. So what happens is, so if it's, let's just say it's $100, I owe $100, okay? And it can be for last year's second half taxes. If they're 6 months behind, they can be on that tax sale. So May 1st, there's going to be another half year's taxes due. So that $397,000, they're going to owe the investor is going to owe another $200,000. Over $100 one, they're going to owe another $100. So,
mm-hmm.
so they have to pay those subsequent taxes when they become due each
yep.
yeah.
every year, and to get their full dollar amount on their investment. So, you know, it can be
mm-hmm.
it can be
a lot of money.
A lot of money. So.
Yeah, 80%,
I guess.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob.
You bet.
Thank you. All right. D, under miscellaneous, approve the amendment of Nationwide Requirement Solution Plan to incorporate plan loan procedures for the employee's voluntary 457B retirement plan.
Make a motion. That was last week.
You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would second that motion.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay, Commissioner Committee reports.
I didn't bring my paperwork from the Law Enforcement Center. Do you recall what...
There was really no new business other than the fact they're looking at maybe doing some paving in the parking lot where some
there
of the panels are really broken.
I would know there was some.
And they're going to get some bids on that.
I was at several meetings. I was at the Dakota County Community Connections meeting, and they're working on a comprehensive community planning. And I don't know, I was at the meeting, but I don't know if there's county's been involved to more degree than that. But it was very interesting. You know, they had some good ideas about five areas for economic stability, quality of living, health, safety, and education. So they're working on a comprehensive plan to get everybody working on this community
nice.
Project. And then I went to Keep Nebraska, Northeast Nebraska Beautiful. They actually have a grant, Keep American Beautiful Restoration and Resiliency Grant that can be used for potentially for flood-related projects, like if you have a ballpark or soccer fields that are underwater,
mm-hmm.
kind of those types of things,
mm-hmm.
recreational. I haven't heard that we have any right around here, and she
mm-hmm.
put it out to a lot of people. I mean, I got an email about it, too.
Okay.
Didn't get many. But there is a
mm-hmm.
pot of funds for restoration and resiliency for that type of thing. In Papio, Missouri, they're having the scrap computer electronics collection on Thursday, April 11th here in Dakota City. And I want to say that Marty did an outstanding job representing the county at the joint city-county.
Well, thank you.
It was a long meeting, but good thing you were up second or third.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you. At that meeting, we did. The county received an award for being parts of the trail program, or the through the bike trails through South Sioux. We did have the trail that came up the freeway trailer park, which is a very important piece of trail, because a lot of kids walk to school from that trailer park. In the middle of winter, you see kids walking down the highway with snow on both sides of the road. So they did include us on that. So we got another plaque that will go on the wall. I also went to the Region 4 meeting, Board of Governors meeting over in Norfolk. That's always an interesting meeting, but well, there's also commissioners from 22 different counties, and we took the first while of that meeting and gave everybody 2 minutes to say what happened in their county with regards to floods. And it didn't take long to figure out that though things are not very good here in Dakota County with what happened, we're so lucky compared to some other counties. I talked to the one commissioner next to me who's in Furnace County, which is west, a little south of Cherry County, and you know, their county about a third our size, and we had $2 million worth of damage, and their estimate is at $258 million worth of damage. They have 14 bridges that used to be there that no longer exist. So this was really a wicked spring. So I found that interesting, and other than that, I think that was it for me.
John Albright came in town, and I went to just see what she had to say, and so does Fred and Deanna and Mary Chimander. And she was telling us how bad is Norfolk and those areas, you know, compared to here. But she really looked this areas here, so she wanted to get some information. And Fred really did a good job as far as giving information, you know, so on about the two regions that he closed last week, you know, and things like that. The roads that really need to be working on it and stuff like that. And with the program through FEMA, FEMA is going to pay 75% of the cost of any project, and the state will pay 12.5% and the county 12.5%. But you know how it goes. I mean, you deal with FEMA. So, and she gave us a number. If anybody has an issue on their own property, whether it's flooding or anything like that, that she gave us a number. That's 402. If anyone have any concerns or any damage is done or whatever, you know, the number is 402-817-1551. And you present your concern or your project or whatever the case might be. I really want to thank Deanna, you know, for the work that she done, because I see the lady is everywhere, you know, when the situation like this arrives, you know, in our county. And it's very important to have the emergency management personnel and that involved, really is, because you don't know when Mother Nature is going to strike us, you know, and how and where. And she's there. I mean, she even come to my place because the river got out of the bank, you know, start running in the parking lot, and she came over. I mean, and she was everywhere. And Johnny Albright recognized that. He says, "Lady, you need to sit down and rest, you know, besides, you know, see you everywhere." So that was nice of her to come over and look at her and ask people, you know. There was myself, Fred, Deanna, Fire Chief Lance, Oscar Gomez. How was that?
Appreciate you going in there and take care of that.
No problem. She was very happy to see us there. So, that's my report.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's a little bit tough because I was at the meeting when they were kind of organizing when it looked like the Missouri River was going to go a little higher than it did.
Right.
And it was just hard because everybody there, you know, has the same consensus that even though the Army Corps tells you this, nobody believed that to be true. And it's a shame that that's the situation, but it calls well, it ended well for the most part. You know. All right. With that, we're going to be adjourned.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I even remember the pledge and stuff before we started. I was kind of a quick starter.
Oh, wait, okay.
What's that? This and that?
No.
They're called pop sockets.
Oh, I know.